It'll be a big boost for their offense on Thursday night, no question.
Yeah, it will. And the Singers have things going in the right direction. This is just another shot in the arm to a team that really seems to be trending positively. So it's exciting. And, you know, we only had one game to watch this young man play, but Moon can play. He can flat out play. So his potential contribution, and certainly we have to cut him a bit of slack for being off with an injury, but I think, Jason, he's going to make a meaningful impact over the next few weeks for the Singers as they ramp up for playoffs.
Now, you look at this. Have you seen a noticeable difference at all in how they attack with the new coach?
You know, I don't think so, other than they seem very settled. And I don't know what that means, other than it looks good. They seem comfortable with each other. They seem to trust each other. They seem to trust Jermaine, their coach, very much. So what I will say is they look settled. They look like the benefits now of playing together week in and week out is taking root, and Jermaine seems to be handling it very well. He showed great leadership in their come-from-behind victory in his first game as head coach when they beat Fraser Valley, and then taking down the number one team in the league is no small accomplishment without Jordan Baker, by the way. So I think that only a certain amount of credit, how much is anyone's best guess, certainly a certain amount of credit has to go to Jermaine.
Paul, the NBA free agency, it's crazy. Probably bigger than the NHL. You just look at the amount of money that was thrown around. Kevin Durant to Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan all go to the Nets.
Yes.
So you see the young Canadian, who I know we talked about last week, R.J. Barrett. Hey, you know what? They'll probably have some guys they can surround him with. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case now. It'd be very different to see kind of how he's going to be introduced to the NBA. And that can really change the development and career path of a player if you get thrust into too much responsibility early and can't handle it.
Well, yeah. I mean, now you've got a 19 or 20-year-old who is going to basically be asked somewhat similarly, but even with more of a glaring spotlight, to do what Kristaps Porzingis was asked to do, and that's to carry a franchise forward into the abyss that is the New York Knicks. And I think you hit it, you said it absolutely perfectly there, Jason, when you said he's going to be surrounded by some guys. Well, those some guys aren't Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. It's some guys that we have no idea who they are in a lot of cases. So I couldn't agree with you more. Now, he's a primetime kid, but he's still 19 or 20. And to carry a franchise forward is a huge responsibility in one of the cruelest media markets anywhere on the globe. So, yeah, it's going to be I'm very interested in what in this mess that you call NBA free agency, the Knicks are going to be able to glean out and build around RJ to put together something on the court. They have a very good coach. So that's good. They seem to have a good front office. That's great. But that doesn't score points. They need players that can score points and do other things on the court. And right now they just don't have that.
Paul, sir, joins us. Paul, what did you make of the Warriors trade to get Russell?
Kind of an odd one, I thought. But I get it because now with D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry, while Klay Thompson rehabs his knee, they've got potent scoring from two positions in the front court again, in the back court. So that I get that. And Russell is a dynamic guy, I think, that could thrive under Kerr's leadership. And that I think is the key. They picked up a dynamic player that's going to play for a team that has been able to unleash players' talents at a level that really is unusually high. So if Russell steps in, if he feels empowered, he's playing alongside the great Steph Curry, along with a player like Draymond Green, who's going to get him the ball in scoring position. I can see why the Warriors made a move to get a meaningful player like this. So overall, I know a lot of people have said, why'd they bother? Well, they bothered because they needed more scoring while Klay Thompson rehabs and He's coming back from a serious knee injury. You hope by playoffs next year he's going to be at full strength. But that's still a hope, and it always remains to be seen.
Well, yeah, I think they'll take their time with Klay Thompson, no question about it. And what this signing does, though, I believe, it allows Steph Curry not to blow his brains out during the season, right? He's still going to be a big part of that team, but Russell can take some things. And you know what, for Russell's career arc, the opportunity to learn under Steve Kerr, the thing about the Warriors and how they think outside the box, I wouldn't be surprised. And I know everybody, well, what about defensively in matchups? And, you know, is Klay Thompson suddenly maybe a small forward now and when they all get back? I don't know, right? It might not be the perfect setup, but if you're shooting that well, then the other team has to defend you, and they have to worry about their defense against you as much you have to. So maybe all of a sudden teams will go smaller against them all the time. You don't have to worry about a size mismatch.
Well, I think that's very well summarized. I mean, they're the ones now creating the mismatch problems. And when you look at the trend in the NBA anyway, everybody's going smaller.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, 6'7". I mean, he can guard a small forward. He doesn't have any problem with that. And now you got to deal with Russell, Curry, and Thompson. They're going to outscore people with that lineup. So I agree with you. I think they think outside of the box. They think, put Draymond Green in there at the four spot. That's a heck of an offense that you've got going. What are teams going to be doing other than worrying about what they can do to slow the Warriors down?
Well, sir, joins us. Paul, if Kawhi doesn't go to Toronto, do the Raptors go in like a rebuild mode?
I almost think they to a certain extent, they have to, Jason, because they don't have enough pieces right now to make a big run in what looks like it's going to be an even stronger East than it was this year, the way free agency's going. So that's number one. But number two, they've got aging pieces that they're going to have to be thinking about in the future. They just had a nice signing yesterday, I believe, a kid from Iowa State, and I think his name's Thompson, who can really shoot it. Like, he's the real deal in terms of he's kind of a poor man's Klay Thompson, and I don't want to create any illusion that he's going to come into the Raptors and score 20 a game, but he's going to make an impact because he can really stroke it. I think that's an exciting signing. But then they're going to have to look at their pieces and say, we've got to make some changes. Maybe it won't be this year, but if they don't do a moderate rebuild this year without Kawhi, they're going to have to do a major one next year. And Masai Ujiri seems like he's such a smart guy that he's going to try to make some key moves. What those would be, I have no idea. But he's going to try to make some things to put pieces around Pascal Siakam in particular.
Yeah, well, they're getting pretty, you know, that's why I think if Kawhi stays in Toronto, it's on a 1-1 term, and then he'll kind of see what happens. I still think it's there. Like, the Lakers obviously are enticing because you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but they're also maybe not enticing because if he goes there, a lot of people feel like, well, he's just ring chasing. And maybe that's what all the NBA players are thinking now. But I don't know. Like, I think if Kawhi Leonard opted to stay in Toronto, he might become one of the most favorite or fan favorite players in the league, because fans of all the other teams will secretly be like, I hope my superstar player does what this superstar player did.
That's a great point. There seems to be a switching back to kind of an older school way of looking at team building, which is the old days of Michael Jordan stays in Chicago, Magic Johnson stays in Los Angeles, Larry Bird stays in Boston. I mean, that was nice to know year in and year out, there was loyalty to your franchise. And if Kawhi were to stay in Toronto, he would be beloved by the league. And one of the interesting things I think now, Jason, as we're seeing, it no longer matters like it used to if you play in New York City or Los Angeles. With social media being as advanced as it is, you can play anywhere. Just look at Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. You can play anywhere and be a superstar and have a tremendous following everywhere from both sponsors as well as from fans. So Kawhi owns a country right now. If he stays, that will continue. He owns a franchise right now. He is the guy. He goes to Los Angeles. He doesn't strike me as the type of guy that wants to get involved in what will be just an absolute nightmare of a Hollywood show of LeBron James, who, you know, is a self-appointed CEO of his brand, he's convinced Anthony Davis he's the same thing. You know, not that they're not good dudes. I don't know if they are or they aren't. But they're certainly making their business case supersede, I believe, their basketball careers. So I don't see Kawhi really wanting to be a part of that. But, hey, maybe he'll ring chase like you said.
Paul, you going to the Stingers game on Thursday?
Sure am.
Oh, well,
and then the following Thursday, it's going to be 3x3 night with the Stingers. So we're going to introduce 3x3 people. But, yeah, going to be there. You going to be there?
I will be there, yes. I'm
right.
Looking forward to taking it in. So I look forward to you buying me a beer. I'll see you on Thursday.
I owe you one. That'll be great.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Likewise, Jason.